Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I woke up a few days later in the hospital. Apparently, I suffered from an extreme concussion, I believe the doctor said. And when I woke up, I spent a few hours remembering my parents fighting, and I contemplated suicide. But then I thought for 9 minutes that I should become a comedian. But then I said, no, I'm going to continue on with my career, and I'm going to push forward. So that's what I did.
This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show, Ophidian. You are back on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
This is the Greek god, Demetrius Papadon, the greatest unsigned talent today, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Radio.
I know what I want to hear. I'll tell you. All right, enough of the shenanigans. Now, we're talking about business here, Chico.
Hey, guys, this is Salamander Jones, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio!
And welcome to another exciting edition of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am your host. I am the Dean of Credibility, Double D. And joining me, as always, is Dan the Man, the above-average comedian, Dan the Man Law.
Yo!
All right, you can find me at Folsom County. That's on the Twitter. Dan, where can the fine people find you?
You can find me at DanLaw83.
All right. We'll be joined...
Oh, it's going to be interesting tonight.
I hope so. But we're going to be joined later on by Omega Squad. You can find him at Omega Squad on Twitter. Subscribe on iTunes, Dan. Of course, search for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Proudly part of the BradyHicks.com lineup.
I mean, when you do a search for Hell in a Cell, I mean, this other weird match I never heard of pops up. And then right after that, our show.
Follow the Twitter. That's at HIAC Talk Radio. Like the Facebook at Cell in a Hell. That's facebook.com/cellinahell. Call in and join us at 718-664-9133. There's already someone on hold.
Uh-huh.
Matt Trema, I think he's waiting. He might already be in a cage. I'm not sure what's going on, but he's been waiting.
That man lives in a cage.
He was actually on hold longer than I was on getting ready for the show.
Yeah.
Good gracious. He's ready, isn't he?
He's ready.
Cage of Death, of course, coming up on Saturday. That's CZW's biggest show of the year. And it's headlined by Matt Trema, our guest, who will be here in just a few moments, taking on DJ Hyde, the boss. The
Meh.
Boss, DJ Hyde.
Meh.
The owner of CZW.
Meh.
Okay. And we're also going to have fan mail as well tonight. That's Robert Knight from New Moon Rising Wrestling will be here to join us. Back after a one-week hiatus. Of course, PWS rookie.
That'll get interesting as well, too.
Craven Vero will be here. That's right, Craven Vero. I know how excited you are to have Craven Vero back on the program, Dan.
It's more exciting than a Breaker Morant interview.
Oh, he's I think 5 or 6 months into the business, he's already doing better promos than Breaker Morant.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's got a better promo in his thumb.
But that's neither here nor there.
No, it's not.
We're also going to recap ECWA. They had a big show.
Oh.
Toys for Tots. I can't even talk about half of it, Dan.
A big show is not even... The words do not describe.
We have returns. We have betrayals. We have some exclusive post-event post-event audio from Atu. That's right. I said Atu. He's back in ECWA.
Oh, man.
From Matt Saigon and from Monsieur Ooh-La-La. But that's coming up in a little bit. Now, Dan, of course, I already said it. We have Cage of Death. It's coming up this Saturday from the Flyer Skate Zone in Voorhees, New Jersey.
How they cleared that, I have no idea.
I don't know either, especially when you throw in the addition that this will be glass planes. There's going to be glass in there, Dan.
Oh, Jesus.
Glass planes. That's all I have to say about that. Now, it's also going to have Adam Cole against Sami Callihan. No holds barred, I believe. Got a lot going on, Dan. A lot going on. But why don't we talk to Tremont about it? We're going to get him
himself
right after this. Right, just days away from Cage of Death, CZW's biggest show of the year. Dan and I are joined by Matt Tremont. How are you doing tonight, Matt?
I'm doing the best a man could do in the state of mind that I'm in right now, just mere days from me and DJ stepping in that cage. And I called in so early and being on hold because the only thing on my mind is him, and I just want to vent frustrations, and I want to talk even before we go face-to-face tomorrow on iPay-Per-View, and just days before Cage of Death. Thank you guys for having me on again, and let's get this thing started.
Let's get it started. Of course, we're going to start from the beginning, Matt. This all right. Started about a year ago. You joined CZW. You were a fan, a lifelong fan. You finally had a chance to get in the promotion that you loved. You bleed yellow and black. Finally, you get a chance, but there's disrespect from the boss, DJ Hyde. It started really at the anniversary show, the 13th anniversary show. Just go into that when you were disrespected by DJ.
June 2011, I hopped the very guardrail from the very same spot arena where I used to sit month in and month out, where I paid my $20 and supported the Combat Zone every month, every year. And from that very same seat and that side of the guardrail, I hopped it in June of last year, and I entered the Combat Zone. And since that day, since the exception of that night at the arena, DJ Hyde's been there every step of the way. After every match was over, he's there to talk and steal the spotlight once again, time and time again, since day one.
Now, what do you think you represent, or what do you think you do that DJ despises you so much?
Jealousy. I think when it all comes down to it, everything he said, all the physical and mental attacks over a year plus about respect, about disrespect, about call me a boy, and every challenge that he put in front of me, every obstacle that was put before me. He put me in a deathmatch trial series, and I took on the best. Win, lose, or draw, I went in there month in and month out and took on the best. At the end of the day, it's jealousy, because CZW heard about this kid that went down to Alabama in February 2011 who was a nobody from Jersey and made an impact. And CZW and DJ Hyde had to bring me in. But I wasn't a CZW born and bred guy. But I came in there and made a name for myself because of that opportunity that DJ Hyde did give me. But at the end of the day, it's something that he doesn't have, and that's heart.
He just has the big bucks is what you're saying. He doesn't have the heart. He just has enough money to buy the promotion. But now, last time we spoke to you, I believe it was a week or two after Tangled Web. We were moving into Redemption, where you two met in a rematch. Now, that rematch was a no canvas, no ropes, barbed wire match. Now, what happened there? Just tell us some highlights of that match.
I saw and seek redemption after Tangled Web. I said to myself over and over again, that first week after Tangled Web, you know, I'm still healing up. You know, DJ's put me in the hospital twice. You know, that's always on my mind. But after Tangled Web, after I healed up and finally got my head on straight, I sought and seek redemption in Delaware, in his old backyard on Markley Little Acres in Delaware, with me and him, the old sprung back, an original CZW death match from the early days in the Squared Circle of Fear. And I lost to Tangled Web, and up into that point, all I wanted to do was get him in the middle of the ring, in the middle of his ring, in the middle of his company, and beat him 1-2-3. I didn't get the job done at Tangled Web, but he didn't kill me, and I was still there, ready for more. Redemption, Squared Circle of Fear match, an original CZW death match in his backyard.
Now, after that match, he fired you, if I'm not mistaken.
Beat him 1-2-3. Death Valley Driver through a board on fire. 1-2-3. I finally got what I wanted. I wanted that victory. I wanted that mental aspect out of it. I wanted DJ to realize that I had to prove to him, and I couldn't hang with him in the ring. I beat him 1-2-3 in the middle of his ring. And when it was all said and done, I hopped the guardrail. And I celebrated with the people I used to sit with. And as we celebrated, DJ Hyde proceeds to go back to the back, grabs a mic like he always does, and fires me right then and there. And he already took away TOD, and now he took away what all I've ever wanted in the first place, was just to be able to perform and apply my craft in the company I grew up supporting. And he took that away from me at Redemption.
Now, after that, there was a TV taping in Philadelphia, and you got your job back, or I'm not exactly sure the details of that. Just talk about the rec center and what happened there.
It was October. It was the night before the Cerebral show in Jersey. After Redemption, I live locally now. I'm born and bred in Atlantic City. I live locally now in Northeast Philadelphia, what happens to be right down the street is the Vogue Rec Center, where CZW was having a wire television taping.
Ooh.
And I just lost my job in the combat zone. The Vogue Rec Center is right down the street, always hiring, always looking for locals to help around. And Maven Bentley helped out and got me the job there. And, you know, I'm just basically... anything you needed to make a buck, I was a janitor. I'm pushing the broom, I'm pushing the mop, and I'm doing what I got to do to earn a day's pay to put food on the table for me at the end of the night. And CZW happened to run the show there the night before the Cerebral show. And while that show's going on, I'm doing my janitorial duties throughout the day, throughout the night. And the proceedings at the end of the show had my boss at the Vogue Rec Center in the middle of the ring, holding him up for money, holding him up for the charity money, calling him out, and proceeds to hit my new boss. I just happened to be sweeping. He calls me in the ring, and me and DJ Hyde go to blows in that match.
Okay, and then the next night at Cerebral, you were in the crowd, you bought a ticket, but you were still thrown out by a DJ. So just instance after instance that this man is pushing your buttons, disrespecting you. Now, how does this all make you feel?
Listen, he's been calling me a boy since day one. He's never respected me as a young man. He's been calling me a boy. The other thing, he's been calling me is a mark. Let me tell you something, DJ Hyde. Everybody came from the other side of the guardrail. You go back and watch Night of Infamy from 2002, you see our current boss, DJ Hyde, sitting on the other side of that very same guardrail, watching Lobo and Zandig do their thing. Excuse me, Whitebeater and Zandig. Everybody came from there. And he wants to call me a mark because I came from the other side of the guardrail. Everybody does. You call me a boy. You call me a mark. You can call me whatever you want. And you know what? He's always been one step ahead of me this entire time, it seems like. And I have to give him his credit there. So he wants me to be a mark. He wants me to sit amongst the people again. So at Cerebral, I did wait in line with the fans. Yeah, out there in the bitter cold, bought my $20 general admission ticket, and I sat amongst the crowd.
Then we move on to the charity show for Brain Damage. You were in action, and after your match was completed, he throws you out of the building yet again. Then, well, go ahead, I'm sorry.
On a typical DJ high, on a show that has, DJ wasn't indirectly involved with the show, but obviously it's in the new CZW venue, it's in the CZW ring, but the show was put together by other individuals in the show, and it had nothing to do with me and DJ, nothing to do with CZW. It was something to do for Marvin Lambert, a.k.a. Brain Damage, a tribute show for him and to raise money to give to his family. And DJ still proceeds, with all his ego that he has, to come out and steal someone that has passed away his limelight and spotlight and still has the time and day to throw me out of the goddamn building.
Ugh.
Then you bought a ticket, sat amongst the fans at the following CZW show, Night of Infamy, and he was going to throw you out again, but the locker room empties, and out, you just see this support that the entire locker room has for you, and pretty much they were going to go on strike. It was led by Greg Excellent, Sammy Callahan was out there, a few other guys, and they hold up the show, and DJ finally has to, at this point, give you what you wanted all along, not the respect, per se, but he gave you your spot back in CZW. If you could win the match later on against Joe Gacy and Mathis, Ron Mathis. But you couldn't have a partner that was on the current CZW roster. New Jack comes out. Explain that moment when you heard New Jack's music hit.
You know, DJ, like I said, has been one step ahead of me this entire time. But I think Fremont had the upper hand on this one. And had the original Gangsta on speed dial. And when Natural Born Killers hit, no one expected it. He told me I can't team with anybody from CZW, Dragon Gate Evolved, and any other independent wrestling promotion out there. So I get one of the most extreme, respected, crazy guys in the business in the original Gangsta. And I think we took care of Gacy and Mathis pretty well, and then we all knew what happened after that.
Of course, DJ Hyde throws you through the plane of glass, but that's a good place to stop things for a minute, because what I'm going to do now, I believe we have the boss on the line, DJ Hyde.
Come on.
And I'm going to bring him on.
Let him in.
Now, is this DJ Hyde?
Of course this is DJ Hyde.
Oh, boy.
Okay, DJ, welcome to the show. I'm here speaking with Matt Tremont. What do you guys have to say to each other?
So you're daring me to call in on Twitter, huh? You think you're funny, huh, boy?
Please, thank you for calling in. Thank you.
Thank me for calling in. Tomorrow night is eye for an eye, and when you show up tomorrow, I'm going to kick your face in if you act up, all right? So just listen, boy. You need to do what you're told. I'm your boss, all right?
It's easy to steal the spotlight when you own it.
Oh, when I own it? Yeah, I saw your little promo, your little, you know, Cage of Death. So let me tell you something. You've never been in a Cage of Death, Matt. You don't know what it's like. Those 130 stitches that I've given you, you think Tangle Web was just a walk in the park? That's nothing compared to what this cage is going to look like. I'm designing this cage. All right? This is a Shattered Dreams Cage of Death. I'm going to shatter your dreams and turn it into your worst nightmare. Panes of glass all over. 12 panes of glass, to be exact, are installed into this construction. Nobody around the world has ever done anything like this. Not to mention, if you go back in history, I am the man when it comes to these matches. I have beaten all your little heroes like Nick Gage, the great John Zandig, all in this type of a match. And now you're going to put it into the Cage of Death, and you pissed me off. So you think you're funny, boy? You want to go out here and run your mouth and do your little radio shows? Have fun with it. But come tomorrow at Eye for an Eye, you cross me, I will kick you right in the face. And come Cage Death, you are going to die.
You're a joke, and I'm going to punch you square in your fucking mouth.
Oh, really? You know where to find me, boy. You're nothing but a boy. You're just a young, stupid little boy who is never, ever going to amount to what I am in this business. I am the most powerful man in independent wrestling. People bow down and worship me. And just because all these little fans out here that are listening to you seem to love you and think you are their savior, and that somehow that my great and mighty power is not going to affect them because you're there, they got another thing coming.
Now, of
I hope you're ready for Cage, DJ, because unlike everybody else in this fucking company in CZW for a year plus now, I've been showing I can bleed black and yellow, and I've been proving to everybody, and if somehow I haven't been able to prove it to you, but come Saturday night, even come tomorrow, I got no regard for my own well-being, and I sure as hell have no regard for yours. If we both die in that fucking cage after Saturday night, when we both end up in the hospital bed to bed side by side, good, better for the business, because I'm going to kick your fucking ass inside the most important structure. You can design it and do all you want. I'm going to kill you in that goddamn cage on Saturday. And tomorrow,
Matt, why don't I just smarten you up a little bit? See, this Eye for an Eye press conference that we're doing live on Hybrid ENT tomorrow night is going to be held actually inside the Cage of Death. It's actually going to be in the ring at the CZW Wrestling Academy where the cage is set up now, where it has been constructed. So you cross me there, we might get Cage of Death come early, man. It might just be a few days early. So fans that want to see you, they want to get their glimpse, they can go to Hybrid ENT. They want to watch it, you know, on iPay-per-view. And, yeah, you bleed. Okay, we've all seen you bleed. You're hundreds upon hundreds of stitches and staples and scars. All right, you got lucky one time, boy. Lucky.
My blood money that you pocket every month.
Your blood money, huh, that I pocket? Really? Who do you think's got to deal with all your stupid medical bills? Or, oh, when you do something idiotic, what, you want to live like your hero Nick Cage? Is that what it is? Or you want to live your dream? This is your dream to go and main event the biggest show in wrestling, Cage of Death. You want to be one of those few chosen men. All right, I heard you. I listened to your promos. I've heard you on these radio shows. I sat here and listened to you while you're talking. You think you're real funny. You think you're going to live your dream. Well, let me tell you, this isn't a dream for me, Matt. I have to win this match. No stupid little fan, no Mark who used to sit on that other side of the guardrail with all these cretins out there is going to cross me.
Oh.
Not you, not none of them, not anyone. So if you come and you get in my way, you do not bow down to me and go down 1, 2, 3, I swear to God it'll be the last thing you ever do. You got to understand, I can't lose this match. This is my life. I don't lose these matches. I am the greatest professional athlete in this business. There is a reason for it, because I've proven it time and time again, because I've stepped up to the plate time and time again. What have you done? You have bought a ticket. That's it. Okay, you've bled. Big, slushy deal. No one gives a fuck. You know why no one gives a fuck? because all they wanted to see was blood. But at the end of the day, why am I cashing the checks? It's simple, because I win. I'm a winner. I'm not some loser like you from New Jersey. I'm not some idiot like these fans who sit out there in this crowd. I am the lariat, DJ Hyde.
I've won the crowd over that you could never do.
Win the crowd over. Who cares about that crowd? They come to see me perform. They come so they can be in my presence. They just want to bask in my glory. Haven't you noticed that yet?
DJ. Eye for an eye. Somebody fist to your mouth.
You sound real confident, Matt.
Very confident.
You were real confident going into Tangled Web, weren't you? Real confident. Where'd you end up? On the mat? Just like everybody else has. Where else did you end up? With 130 stitches? In the hospital for days with your stupid, fat whore of a girlfriend taking care of you? Where else, Matt? All your friends and all your fans are Facebooking you and Twittering you. Yeah, that's fun. But where were you sitting? In a hospital room. Where was I sitting? Doing my business. Doing what I do every day. Being a winner. Beating people, running the greatest.
You didn't have the upper hand on Saturday when I had New Jack there. Stacey and Mathis couldn't get the job done at Night of Infamy.
Hey, buddy. Hey, New Jack's coming.
New Jack's a fucking douchebag.
Oh, really? New Jack's going to be at the show. All right, he's going to be there. He's going to be signing autographs for all the fans. That's great. You know why? Because he's paying to be there. He's paying me. He got himself a table. Why? Because this show revolves around me, not you. I'm the man. You're not. You're nothing but a boy. You're nothing but a stupid little Mark who's trying to live his dream, all right, and go, oh, I'm going to go on and live the boyhood dream, the WrestleManias and all that, but you know what? I'm CZW, all right, and CZW is where I want to be, and you think these people are going to support you? Do you think these people are going to have your back after what I do to you, after I throw you through pane of glass, and it's going to go glass after glass? After glass, after glass, until 12 times they've been broken over you. And yeah, you're going to be bleeding black and yellow all over the place, and you're going to be laying flat on your back from a lariat.
Can't buy your way out of the cage. But I hope you show up. Don't show up in a suit and tie tomorrow night either. Come ready to fight.
Oh, really? Show up in a suit and tie. I will show up in a suit and tie. But when I wrestle you, boy.
Suit and tie, ran away. Send some fucking English guy to come in and do your dirty work. I took care of him real quick.
You've been lucky, man. You've been lucky that you've had these people and these all these boys in the back, all the guys and girls for some reason that have you manipulated some way that do not want to fall in line with me. Somehow you've manipulated that. And tomorrow night is eye for an eye. All right, you manipulated them. What do you think I'm going to have up my sleeve, man? Don't you know who I am? You know what I'm capable of. You've seen it. Look where I've taken CZW, to the greatest places around the world. You were fortunate enough to go on a European tour because we were there. Mind it, I may not have booked you there, that WXW did that just to be spiteful of me, but guess what? You were only there because I was there. Those fans were only there to see me. Tomorrow, live on Hybrid ENT, is Eye for an Eye. It'll be the last face-off before Cage of Death match. The last time you're going to get to say anything. You cross me tomorrow, we'll start Cage of Death early. Anybody that wants to watch it and see you die, that's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to see you bleed, just like they're going to see you bleed at Cage of Death. There's no more games. There's no more ha-has. There's no more guys that are coming in from England or Europe or wherever. There's no more guys that have got my back. Now you're going to have to face the greatest professional athlete in this business, a legend, a guy who has beaten all your heroes, a guy who is the best thing going in this business today and one of the most dangerous people you will ever see alive. A Cage of Death, Matt.
The guy
I'm
that
done with you, boy. I'll see you on Wednesday.
You are the cancer, and I'm the cure. See you tomorrow, douchebag. Eye for an eye. I get it. Buy it on pay-per-view. Go to Hybrid. Do what you want to do. Show up. Show up.
All right, Matt. DJ did drop out, so I believe he hung up. What's your final thoughts into this structure? I don't know how to put it. I mean, 12 planes of glass. I didn't know how many there would be.
I apologize for the vulgarity of that one, fellas.
Hey, things happen.
I'll put this up. With the power of social media, I did put it out there before I came on here, and I called him out on the social media network. And hey, DJ, you got the balls, call, and I guess he did. Bottom line, gentlemen, it's this, that tomorrow night, unbeknownst to me, just a few days ago, now we're going to go I-4 and I. Like, the case of death isn't enough, but now we're going to meet. And I'm actually looking forward to it. It's like a boxing weigh. To me, it makes this mean even more metal, because in my eyes right now, there's been no change of death in the 13 previous ones that have kind of happened, transpired, whatever you want to fucking say. At the end of the day, there's been no more hatred, animosity towards two people ever to step inside this cage in the history of it. Now, I hate this motherfucker more than anything. He's taken food off my plate, money out of my pocket. He's called my girlfriend obscenities that, quite frankly, I'm tired of fucking hearing. Tomorrow night's going to be a pay-per-view that he's going to put more money in his pocket. Well, God forbid, I don't even give a shit. It ain't about the money. Saturday night's about fun. Saturday night's about respect. Saturday night's about me putting my kid up his fucking ass and stop and carving his goddamn eyes out and putting him through every pane of glass. So tomorrow, we're going to go face-to-face. We're going to go eye-to-eye on Hybrid ENT on his iPay-per-view. And so, DJ, if you show up, don't think this is going to be a nice sit-down WWE-style contract signing. You better have security. There better be fucking cops there. Because if we're going to be this close, do not hesitate and do not think I'm just going to sit there with my hand sitting under my ass. I'm going to punch you in your fucking mouth.
You heard it here. That's tomorrow night, Eye for an Eye.
Jeez.
The Eye pay-per-view on Hybrid ENT. Now, Matt, where can people follow you if they want to keep up to date with you?
Let me collect my thoughts for 1 second, gentlemen.
Take your time. Yeah, take your time, man.
Before I get into that, because you've been kind enough to give me this platform and this outlet on a few previous occasions and tonight. This match, besides DJ and all this, when it all comes down to it, all I ever want to do, and people know my story by now because I've said it time and time again, all I want to do is compete for CZW. All I wanted to ever do was be hardcore. And Saturday night is the most ultra-violent, hardcore, extreme match there is in this business. It's the cage of death. It's alive. It's changed careers. It's ended people's careers. Saturday night's the biggest my night in my young existence on this fucking planet at 23 years old. I've watched every cage of death. I've been to a couple live when I was there. But now I'm on the other side of the guardrail because I'm humble. Because every opportunity that was given to me this year, I knocked out of the park. I never kissed ass or played any politics. I earned this one. I've earned everything that's been coming to me this year. DJ High wants to fire me. I paid him. He threw his hand and he had to rehire me back. So I gave him the biggest match. You end the year. It's not a final battle. It's not WrestleMania. I never wanted to be bound for glory. Saturday night, biggest independent wrestling show of the year. It's going to see two men settle this difference inside the most demonic and sadistic structure in the business. And you can follow me on Twitter at TremontCZW.
All right. Now, Matt, I will look forward to seeing this match. I want to see a resolution to this.
Before it kills both of you.
Yeah, it's been brewing for quite some time. Good luck. And please, and I mean this, be safe.
Yes, very sincerely.
But I know it's not about safety. I know it's more about you punching DJ in the mouth.
Like I said, I'm going to leave it all in the ring. I have no regard for my own well-being anymore. I sure as hell don't have any for his. If we die in that cage on Saturday night, live in front of the whole world to say, good, better for the business.
Well, with that, Matt, I'll see you Saturday, hopefully not for the last time.
No.
All right, Phil, I appreciate it, fellas. Saturday night's going to be two words, on point.
Oh.
All right, so that was Matt Tremont. I'm going to play out his theme music, and we'll be back after that. All right, Dan. We're taking a moment here, getting our breath.
We're going in from one fire to the other, really.
You know, that's what it's really about. It's not going to stop here because, Dan, it's time for fan mail.
Oh, boy.
The views and the opinions expressed by the Knight Rider, Robert Knight, are not those of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio or New Moon Rising Wrestling. Robert.
How's it going, guys? That was some lead in tonight. Holy moly.
I know. Can you curse a couple times for me, Robert?
No, we got to hold back a little bit now. We got to bring this back to PG. Although, I was a bit confused. I'm wondering if the head comedian at the Monster Factory is booking for those guys now, because I think I heard him say he's going to put them through 12 panes of glass and then beat them with a lariat. I mean, that sounds like Monster Factory booking to me.
Oh, Robert, stop it. Just stop it.
Listen, I was off last week. I got to get caught up.
Yeah, you're starting off with a bang. Now, Robert, you were off last week.
Before you do, I want to shout out our guest host last week, Justin America, is tuned in right now.
That's great. You know, Justin did me a huge favor. I got caught up with some bad guys last week, and he stepped in at the last minute to take care of things, and he did a tremendous job. I was listening in Kit while we were out on the road.
Yes, of course, that was one of the highlights that started off the show. His desperate story of, you know, contemplating suicide. Yeah.
And then being a comedian.
And then coming right back.
Speaking of that story, you can actually see it acted out in my new Christmas special, which is now on YouTube.
Which is gold.
It's a very, very merry Knight Rider Christmas. And you can find it on YouTube as well as on the New Moon Rising Wrestling fan page on Facebook. Now, I have guest appearances by Dan and Lair. We have Ref Bitch. We have No Deuce Cruz. I mean, all my buddies are out in force on the Christmas special. It's one to be remembered.
It's beautiful.
And introducing, of course, Ed the Razor.
Ed the Razor. He's somewhere up in Canada right now, but he was kind enough to send us in that video for the Christmas special.
I love it. Now, Robert, last week, of course, you were on the trail of Stereophonic counterfeiters. Now, what happened there? Did you catch them, or what happened?
Of course, we always catch them. I mean, I got to take care. I got so much going on around the holidays. Unfortunately, things like that pop up at the last minute, and we got to head out and take care of business. But they're behind bars where they belong, those no-good evildoers.
All right. Now, Dan, I believe you have the first piece of fan mail. And
yeah.
It's been a few weeks. It's been about a month since we had fan mail. And this, my friend, is a doozy.
Yes, this was just sent in to us about 6 hours ago. Dear Knight Rider, I'm writing to tell you that your new Christmas special, A Very, Very Merry Knight Rider Christmas, is definitely an instant classic. I put it right behind Christmas Vacation and The Christmas Consultant as the greatest Christmas special ever. And the fact that you were able to take real-life stories and make them entertaining proves just how much of a hero you truly are. Thank you, and have a very Merry Christmas. P.S., thanks for posting it free online so I don't have to pay. No Deuce Cruz.
Oh, that's great. You know, it's great to hear from No Deuce Cruz, especially after he, you know, volunteered to be a part of that Christmas special, because I sure wasn't going to pay him. He's already been paid enough. It's great to have a fan mail letter from him that I can hang on to myself, because it's probably the only thing he's given to anybody from New Moon Rising Wrestling.
Now, let's get back to the fallout from Fallout. Of course, you invited American Roughneck into the ring. You hit him so hard. HPR, there's unfinished business that's going on here. What do you have in store coming up to December to remember with the Fat Neck and his newfound buddy, Glenn Storms?
You know, from what I understand, I mean, the American Roughneck, I ended his career finally. I mean, he's been running his mouth for so long, it was time somebody stepped up and did it, and out of the kindness of my heart, I did what had to be done. And I didn't even intend on doing it, but the guy just refused to apologize. He wanted to continue with the jokes, and that's what he got. As far as Glenn Storms, I'm not sure where he fits into this, but after he witnessed what happened to the American Roughneck, if he still wants to get involved and get into my business, then he's going to suffer the same fate. As far as what I'm up to, December 15th, it's going to be a December to remember because it's a big surprise as to what I'm up to. I have an open contract that day. I was originally scheduled to wrestle some kid from Deptford who's making his homecoming as Ryan Castellucci, Susan Lucci, something like that. You know, when I found out that the guy was another fist pumper, like 95% of the guys on the indie scene, I went to the board of committee and I told the guys at New Moon Rising Wrestling, this is not for the Knight Rider. I mean, I'm not going to come out here. I'm not made for the clubs. I do my work after the clubs. So I have an open contract that whoever's up for accepting it, you know, I'm willing to step into the ring. I'm willing to host Night Court. I will do whatever needs to be done, but rest assured it will be memorable December the 15th.
Now, that sounds great. I mean, we could have Night Court. We could have a open match. I mean,
you
I
can have both.
I can't wait to see what's going to happen. Now, I have the second piece of fan mail, and it's from a dear friend of ours.
Hopefully.
Hey, Knight. Forgetful are they? I know loyal to tree. Santa Claus with milk. Never and always buy shirts and see it hardcore for season. Let it shine. And I believe it was signed in excrement. Moose.
Oh, good buddy Moose. It's been quite a while since we've heard from Moose. You know, I mean, maybe the guy's working. I heard he applied for a job as a mall Santa Claus, but they could smell him from a mile away, so that didn't work out too well.
Oh, God. My head hurts so much.
So, to wrap it all up in a nice, pretty bow for Christmas. Now, if I'm not mistaken, you're going to be here for our special Christmas edition of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Am I correct in that?
I'm going to be here, and I actually am going to have a special guest with me who's got something very special planned for you guys. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag right now, but this is going to be very, very big because I'm big into the Christmas season, as you've seen by my Christmas special, which is now on YouTube. And speaking of YouTube, if I can let everybody know, to subscribe to NMRW Inc. on YouTube, because that's where you can see the Dean of Credibility each and every week on the Scoop Slam, as well as a lot of new original content coming each and every week from New Moon Rising Wrestling.
That's for sure. I mean, those Scoop Slams, want to keep your pulse on the action at New Moon Rising Wrestling, I can't think of a better place.
I tell you what, cinematically, they got a fantastic camera guy.
Oh, yes, the best in the business. And our camera guy does have a camera. He's not coming in with Captain Dave. Cameraless.
Oh, boy. So,
and he has no record.
Dan. Stop it. Omega, where are you? Give him the finger pointing. Where are you, Omega? I know you're there.
What? I didn't say anything. I have indeed.
I thought a minute.
I'm here. Technical difficulties.
No, I have CDs. That's all I meant.
Okay. So
I made the upgrade from LPs to CDs.
Okay, I'll buy it this time. So, where can the people follow you? Where can people follow New Moon? Where can people do what they got to do to stay in tune?
Oh, there's always the New Moon Rising Wrestling fan page on Facebook. That's where all the action's going down. Like I said, NMRW Inc. on YouTube. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at RobertKnight_ for the latest in my adventures all over the world.
Okay. So, Robert, I believe it's time for that catchphrase.
Oh, it's time to let everybody know once again, especially around the holidays when you're writing those letters out, don't send them to Santa. Send them to the one man who can make a difference.
All right, everybody. That was Robert. Thank you again, Robert.
Thank you, guys. I'll talk to you later.
O'Neill. All right, we're back.
I tell you what, he just influences other people to say mean things.
Oh, Robert is a fine, upstanding...
He is. He's a gentleman and a... He's a gentleman and a scholar, and someday somebody's going to write songs about him.
What is...
Now American Roughneck... You know what? Roughneck is going to boycott our show now because we support that clown. I support Roughneck left and right, and he keeps lumping me in with those guys.
Just wait a second. He said, nah, I still listen. I'm addicted.
I'm addicted to your show. Hold on. Because you guys are so talented. And I have nothing else better to do now.
We can stop it anyway, Dan. we had a big loss in the wrestling community, and we're going to talk about it after this. The wrestling community suffered a great loss. Of course, Buddy Roberts, one of the original members of the Fabulous Freebirds, passed away this week. And memories, Dan, of the Fabulous Freebirds.
Unfortunately, my first Freebird memories were the WCW one.
Oh, well.
And I'm talking about, and I love Jimmy Garvin. It was Jimmy Jam and Michael P.S. Hayes in the Bill Watts WCW. So most of my early Freebird stuff was going back and watching tapes, going back and looking up old matches. And these guys, especially in the days in WCCW down in Dallas where the Von Erichs were king, and these guys just stepped in. And just one of the best feuds ever captured, ever on video in wrestling. You hated these people. They made you hate them so bad. And in Dallas, stepping on the Von Erichs was like spitting in God's face. And he was one of those guys that you looked at the TV and you wanted to throw something at him. He made you hate him so much.
Now, I go a little farther back. I watched... from pretty much the beginning when it started being syndicated on ESPN. And one of my favorite feuds that he was involved with was Buddy Roberts against Iceman King Parsons. And it led to the hair cream match.
The hair cream,
he lost his hair with this mysterious hair cream.
How long did he come out with the what is that thing called? The helmet on with the wig underneath it.
Oh, probably about 6 months.
Oh, it was so...
It grew back. So.
It was classic, man.
But here's the thing. The legacy of the Freebirds, if you listen to Legends, the series that's on WWE Classics on Demand, you'll hear Michael Hayes always, tooting his own horn about how great the Freebirds were. And it kind of gets saturated after a while. But the thing is, there's a rule written specifically in the rule books, in quotation marks.
Yes.
The Freebird rule.
The Freebird rule. Any member of the faction could defend a tag team title or wrestle a tag team match.
And, just the whole idea, they weren't the first faction, but they were one of the first
Oh, yeah.
Legion of Doom probably was the first, and I'm talking when it was Jake Roberts and a few other people, along with the Road Warriors and Paul.
Yeah, when it was a mixture of people, not just
Animal and Hawk, but
right.
So there were factions before them, but they were very influential and they were smart about it because they would go from territory to territory making money. They'd be in Mid South, make money in Mid South, then they'd move to Dallas and Dallas never made money until the Creepers went there.
Exactly.
And it became the hottest feud for years.
And all it took was a Michael PSA slamming the cage door. Was it in Kerry's face?
It was actually Terry Gordy on the outside slammed it into
Kerry's
face.
That's right. He slammed it into Kerry's face because he pushed him from behind and he was like, let's go, let's go. And then Terry's like, hell no. And well, actually was like, no, they're not going to do that to me. And slammed it. I'm not making fun of Terry. I just love his cadence.
And what's really sad about all this is Michael Hayes is the lone survivor. I mean, I'm talking about the original Freebirds. I'm not talking about Jimmy Jam, but
no.
He's the lone survivor at this point of that original trio. Of course, Terry Gordy, we've lost a long time ago, but Buddy Roberts.
What was that, 98?
It was a long time ago. But Terry Bam Bam Gordy, of course, they're probably partying, having a good time, wherever they are in the afterlife.
It ain't the same up there right now.
So
I wanted to sidetrack real quick. Terry Gordy had a match in ECW right before he died, didn't he?
Yeah, very close too. I forget with who.
It was Bam Bam Bigelow.
Was it? Oh, Battle of the Bam Bams.
Bam Bam. Yeah.
The Battle of the Bam Bams. But that was 95. But that. I think that match took place 95 or 96.
It was 95, and I think he died 96, 97. I can't remember. It's been so long.
It has been a while.
Those were names. What I wanted to say at the beginning, even though I saw the footage later on, those were names that you always heard. Almost every day you watch wrestling, those were names you always heard growing up. Terry Bam Bam Gordy.
And Bam Bam Bigelow.
Bam Bam Bigelow. Well, I was talking about the Freebirds. Roberts.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah. And, of course, I knew he wasn't doing too well because, of course, on the WWE produced The Rise and Fall or The Tragedy of World Class Championship Wrestling, he had the tracheotomy. So.
That's right. Well, I mean, you know, you could live pretty well past that. I thought he was okay because, you know, he looked okay considering. But
yeah.
I didn't know if he had, you know.
And we've also lost someone else just this past week, DC Drake, who is a Philadelphia hardcore icon. We did lose, and of course he's very close with a lot of guys that are in the ECWA. John Finnegan was very close. Bob Artiste is very close with him. Joe, of course. So our condolences, of course, go out to the families of DC Drake as well. Now.
What does it seem like, and this is probably going to trail off into nothing, but a lot of the younger Philly, it seems like just a lot of local Philly hardcore guys have been, there's been a cluster of them that have passed away in the last year.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a wrestling thing, though, you know, we can talk about it. I believe DC Drake, it might have had something to do with steroids deteriorating his body. Buddy Roberts, of course, he was a heck of a smoker.
Oh my God!
it's not part of this greater epidemic that people always like to categorize wrestling as part of. I think it's just people make choices in life, man. I've talked about this before.
No, people make choices that affect the rest of their lives, and starting from a young age, what you do young will affect you later. Period.
Yes, and whether it has to do with you were a wrestler or you were a truck driver.
Look at football.
Whether you were football player. Like Junkyard Dog, they always lump together all these wrestlers that have passed away before they were 50. But Junkyard Dog fell asleep behind the wheel, but he's clumped in there with those statistics.
People don't know the research, that's why.
Yeah, but anyway.
That didn't trail off, so I got better reaction than I expected.
Oh, no, not at all, not at all.
No.
It's something that always bugs me, because people, especially the outside media, likes to lump it in and say, oh, there's something wrong with wrestling. There's something wrong. There's this epidemic. Now, granted, there are problems in wrestling.
Oh, absolutely.
And we've talked about it, not on this show, but we've talked about it before, Dan, where, you know, of course, being in the ring is very painful. Hell, I jumped off the apron to the concrete floor, and I thought, hi.
3 feet.
That's a shoot, my friend.
3 feet. Shoot and a half.
I swear to God, I thought I died.
You were limping worse than I did when I had my second knee surgery, dude.
Oh, it was horrible.
I mean, I'm no kidding. I mean, they cut my knee open, and you were going, get there eventually. I don't know.
Oh, I was dead. Now, did you notice my second time I came out to the ring, I went around the ring.
You went around the ring, which is probably a good idea. But, I mean, and again, I don't want to trail off. I know we have an outline, but I don't understand in the first place how wrestling gets the negative rap.
Well, because
it's just as physical as hockey, just as physical as football, if not more physical.
It's just a stigma that's always been attached to it, especially ever since the scandals of the late 80s, early 90s, when you had the sex scandals, when you had superstar Billy Graham coming out and saying that he was shooting steroids into Hogan's ass and just all this stuff.
First of all, why would you get that close to Hogan's ass there, man?
I don't know.
I wouldn't get that close to kiss his ass.
Apparently Bubba the Love Sponge has, but
that's a story for a different time.
Now, I do want to get one of our interviews that I got after the ECWA big show, Toys for Tots, it was called, December 1st, this past Saturday. Now, Monsieur Olala, who will be joining us next week on Wednesday to continue the French interruption, he lost the Mid-Atlantic title, Dan. Ricky the Model Martinez, there was a bit of controversy involved.
Mm-hmm.
Kerry Klein gets involved.
Is that what you call that?
Well, whatever you might call it, but here I got his very candid and very truthful observations. I am here with Mr. Olala, who tonight has lost the Mid-Atlantic title. This could be Ooh la la, riding off into the sunset. Who knows?
You shut your mouth. There is no sunset on Ooh la la. That little girl, Ricky, he got lucky. His little, I don't know. It was like the Lady and the Tramp in there. I don't know who's who. But, you know, next thing you know, I thought she was trying to hand me a phone number. It just did not go well. But
do women normally hand their phone numbers between your legs? Is that what usually happens?
That's for another time. Does that matter?
Another place, another time. Now, tonight, you lost that Mid-Atlantic title.
You saw how I did. I mean, I had him under control. I tossed him like I tossed the boss month after month. But tonight was not my night. But there will be another night. And Mr. Model Ricky.
Monsieur Cupcake.
Yeah, that little swine. He better. That's his Christmas gift. It's coming back in the new year.
Now, do you have any idea what's going on further from here, or what's next for Mr. Olala?
You know, first, I mean, you got that guy wearing a squirrel magnum. I mean, I don't know what he's doing in here. I've never seen Roadkill dressed up as a jacket. And then you got Gus Grand, who couldn't find agents on a milk carton. I mean, the guy's pitiful. I think he got that phone from the dollar store. And then you got that girl and... You know, she.
Who is she?
I don't know, but she's got cross eyes. I couldn't make it out real good because she was looking at me a lot, but I wasn't sure what to the left. It was just all over the place. And then, of course, Ricky, who's nothing more than a stooge for the boss, who just has been throwing things at me month in and month out. First, he's got that little girl, Mickey, or little Mikey.
Little Mikey, yeah.
Yeah, little Mikey. Well, I disposed of him. The boss should be on a commode. That's his chair. But then. This debacle tonight where I got out of nowhere, this girl, it was not...
Handing me her phone number, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know.
But the bigger story of tonight, in ECWA, at the end of the show, you had... I don't even know what to call it. Where do you stand on that battle? I didn't see you come out. I know your shoulder's a little hurt and everything, but what happened there?
And I was getting some ice for my shoulder. I took the ring corner pretty hard, and then the DDT. I mean, the kid got lucky, and But as far as what happened in the ring, by the time I was ready to hit the ring and I was going to clean house, as I always do, I mean, they're just darn lucky the carnage was cleaned up before I got in there and said it's right.
That's true. I think if you did have a chance to hit that ring, things would have been much differently out there.
Ah, it didn't look like that car wreck in Texas. God rest their souls, but there would have been piles up everywhere. It would not have been pretty.
I agree with you, but I got to get out of here, Ooh La La. It's always a pleasure.
All right, Ooh La La!
All right, so that was Mr. Ooh La La with his theory.
He didn't wait long for the Texas thing.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. God rest their souls.
God rest their souls, but let me crap all over him.
Oh, he didn't crap on him, Dan.
I've never done that.
Well, joining us next, everyone, will be Craven Vero. He's a PWS. I believe he's making his debut on the main roster coming up on the next show, which is this Friday. A lot of stuff going on. Cage of Death on Saturday, PWS on Friday, Blow on Thursday.
Every day.
We have Tully Blanchard tomorrow. We'll get into that. But
that's how wrestling should be. Every, you know, different days.
Oh, my goodness. So, I'll bring on Craven right after this. Yeah! Welcome to the show. You're talking with Dan, Dean, and Omega. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Good. How are you doing, man?
We are doing great now. Oh, my goodness. You got PWS coming up on Friday.
Yes, sir, I do. I actually, I'm actually still in our new training facility. I literally just got out of the ring about 5 minutes ago.
Oh. Now, are you being, like I said, called up to the main roster for this show?
Yeah, I was gonna tell you all about that, but it's looking like it's a little more of a surprise now. Originally, we were stuff's still happening with that, but we originally had one thing that I was definitely gonna do, and then basically what happened last time kind of changed plans a little bit. So I'll still be doing something with the main roster on the next show, but. It's a surprise now, so I'm not going to be able to tell you about that, but maybe next time I come on, we can talk about it.
Oh, come on. Now I got nothing to talk about.
Sure we do.
Okay, well, give me something to talk about. I'm lost here.
All right, well, first of all, I don't know how many of you heard, but with Hurricane Sandy, we basically lost our home base, the Rahway Rec Center. There's a levee behind the rec center. And during the storm, the levee broke, quote Led Zeppelin, and completely flooded the rec center. So all the wooden floors are all warped up. They had to test the whole building for mold. So they may not be operational until about April. So, you know, credit to the owners of PWS, Pat Buck and Eric Tapout. They immediately started working. Our last show got moved to the Rahway Senior Center, which was a little bit of a smaller venue, but It was a pretty crazy environment, and it almost looked like a pro wrestling gorilla card because everyone was just packed on top of the ring. So that was pretty cool, and now we have our new permanent home, it looks like, possibly permanent, the Metuchen Sports Complex up in Metuchen, New Jersey. And tonight was actually our first training day there.
Oh, okay, so you did figure out the training and facilities and everything like that. That's good. That's very good news.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I guess since we can't really talk about what I'm going to be doing on Friday, I guess I'll let you know what happened at the last event that kind of led to it being a surprise. Basically, the students match at the last show was a 3-on-3 tag match with Lumberjacks. You know, we all did our thing in that match, come out to the back, we think we're done for the night. Pat Buck comes up to us and says, "Hey guys, we're doing a battle royal. The winner of the battle royal is going to fight Kevin immediately in the main event. Because, as you know, Mr. Belding was supposed to actually wrestle Kevin, Mr. Belding from Saved by the Bell. Mr. Belding ended up dropping out, so that was their plan for main event. All right, we're going to throw together a battle royal. Winner faces Kevin. I eliminated about six people in the battle royal, maybe seven, maybe eight, who knows. Came down to me and a guy dressed as the Grim Reaper. Now, I don't train with this guy. I'm like, who? This is a PWS student's battle royal. Who is this guy in the Grim Reaper outfit? So, me being me, I kick him right in the nuts, go to powerbomb him over the top rope, and he back body drops me over the top, hits Kevin with a twist of fate, one, two, three. Turns out it's Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy is our new PWS champion.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. It was a student's battle royal where the last student standing would be the number one contender. I was the last student standing. So, me and Matt Hardy, we have a little problem. So, I just may have to have a few words with Mr. Hardy on Friday.
Oh, so okay, so you're giving us a little foreshadowing.
Uh-oh.
There.
Possibly. It's I may have some words for Matt Hardy on Friday. I may have some words for him on another day because. There's also possibly a spot in the Suicidal Six-Way. My good friend Rich Swann is in that. Zack Ryder's buddy, the Big O, is in that. AR Fox and Jerry Lynn is in that. Now, see, this is where it intrigues me because Jerry Lynn is retiring in the beginning of spring next year. Actually, his last match on the East Coast is at PWS in February against Lance Storm, coming out of retirement to wrestle Jerry one more time.
Oh,
so,
wow. Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it's looking like, you know, do I jump in the Suicidal Six-Way? Do I take care of some business with Hardy? Or do I go a completely different direction? But either way, I had to say there's some big things coming up on Friday for this guy.
This looks to be quite the interesting weekend.
No kidding.
Good.
Yeah,
boy.
Yeah, it does, man.
So,
I mean, did you ever think you'd be at that level at, you know, this quick or...
No, not at all, man. I didn't. I mean, 1 month into my training, I'm under Sami Callihan and Rich Swann's wing, and that was mind blowing to me. You know, if you told me a year ago, because I've only been training for 5 months at this point.
Right.
You know, if you told me a year ago I'd be just, you know, Sami Callihan and Rich Swann's young boy, I'd be like, you know, no way. And you know, that happened. So I have my 3 days a week training with Pat Buck and Starman and Kevin Matthews and Jay Lethal and. Occasionally, Sammy and Swan, if they come up with me. But then when I'm home, the other 4 days of the week, I have Sammy and Swan to just study tape with, talk over moves, what they think I should do, what they think I shouldn't do. So I'm well aware that I'm the luckiest trainee on the planet.
Well, hopefully it keeps going at that speed.
I hope so, man. I really do.
So let me just... process this for a second.
Yeah.
You're in a battle royal.
Go ahead.
There's a guy with a Grim Reaper suit on. You kick him in the nuts or something and twist of fate, boom, bang, zingy dang, do. Next thing you know, good gracious, Matt Hardy's the new champion and somehow you're involved in all this.
Yeah.
That's mind blowing.
Yeah.
And I had no idea this was. I thought I was done for the night. I changed out of my gear and everything. I went out for the lumberjack match. Did what I had to do, and I was happy with how that turned out. And then, boom, battle royal. You got a shot at the title if you win. So I just went out there like a house of fire, man, throwing everybody left and right. And then, you know, I went to go powerbomb this guy, and it's like, well, this guy's kind of heavy. I don't think I trained with this guy. You know, something was a little weird. And then the guy back body drops me like I'm nothing. You know, for those of you who don't know, I'm 6'2", close to 200 pounds. I'm not a huge guy. I'm skinny, but I'm still 6'2", close to 200 pounds.
Yeah.
I can powerbomb most other trainees. I couldn't get this guy up, and now I know why. It was Matt Hardy. So, Matt, you know, he shouldn't really be proud of himself, man. He had to go through me to get the title. Like, I've been training for 5 months. He's like a 15-year vet.
Yeah.
So,
What if Matt Hardy was here right now? You never know. We had DJ Hyde call in and talk to Matt Tremont earlier. So, what if he was here? Let's hypothetically.
Let
Yeah, go ahead and tweet Matt Hardy.
Oh, hold on.
Now, what if he was here right now? What would you say to him? Like, just give me something.
If Matt Hardy was here right now, first of all, I would tell him that he's a scumbag. He's a scumbag for being the kind of wrestler he is, a world-renowned wrestler, and he can't just get a title shot the way that most wrestlers get a title shot. He's got to go through a student. You know what I mean, man? Like that's just trashy right there, first of all. Second of all, he is not stronger than death. And I can't wait till Kevin Matthews proves that to him on Friday in a casket match, in case I didn't mention Hardy versus Matthews rematch as a casket match this Friday.
Oh.
So, I'd also remind Hardy of a few other classic matches that were casket matches. Do you remember how pretty much every Undertaker casket match ended in the early to mid-90s? Everyone thought Undertaker was going to win, but it's a casket match. There's no rules. Everybody runs out, takes out the Undertaker, puts him in the casket. Matt Hardy thinks he's stronger than death. Matt Hardy thinks he's the Grim Reaper. I think the same thing's going to happen to him. I think that reality check just might take care of him, and if reality check can't take care of him, maybe I have to step in.
Wow. Now, you brought up Undertaker casket matches, and it just made my mind get a flutter.
Mm-hmm.
A casket match with, it was Yokozuna, Undertaker, Royal Rumble, and
yes,
it was like nine guys came out there. Nine guys. So you're saying, hey, watch out, Matt. Maybe I'll get some of my students here, and we'll take care of business that way.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a few ways that Matt Hardy could be absolutely screwed, man. I mean, like I said, he had to screw over the students, so maybe reality check screws him over. Maybe some of the students screw him over. Maybe I screw him over myself. Maybe I talk to Kevin Matthews and see if there's room in reality check for Craven Varro.
Oh. Who knows, man? I mean, so much has been happening for you in such a short period of time. Who knows where, you know, this month, I'm flabbergasted for you.
I really don't know what to say.
I don't, because, I mean, you're talking about 5 years, five months in the business, and all this is happening. I'm just trying to wrap it around. Working with these vets, working with... who trains you and all this? My God, I need a moment.
I really, really am a lucky guy, man. Like I honestly feel that way. And, you know, I've been playing it, you know, Mr. Nice Guy this whole time. I've been coming out. I've been appealing to the fans. I've been going out doing my standing shooting star presses and tope suicidas and all that. You know what? I'm starting to think that maybe I don't need that. Maybe I just need to go kick Matt Hardy's ass in the middle of the ring to make a name for myself.
Ooh.
Hey, whatever it takes to make a name. Sometimes you just got to stomp somebody in the face. I like it. That's a good attitude to have, Craven.
Well, thank you, man. And also, you know, I'm not stupid. I'm trained by, you know, some guys that have a real, real, like, multi-million-dollar future in this industry. Sammy's not going to be there to have my back forever. You know, Sammy will eventually get a pretty big contract, in my opinion. Same thing with Rich Swann. I think Sammy Callahan and Rich Swann will eventually make their way up north to that company in Stamford, Connecticut. And I'm going to be by myself. You know, I'll have Pat Buck, but Pat Buck's the owner of PWS. He's, you know, it's a fair playing field. He's not going to have my back. He's going to give me an opportunity and tell me to go for it. But I need to start doing things for myself because I'm not always going to have fucking Sammy and Swann to wash my back. So.
Definitely. Now, so that is Friday night. Now, Thursday night, are we going to have Blow?
Yes. Yes, we are.
And that's the continuation of the women's title tournament.
Yes, the Sweet 16 tournament started off two months ago. And this is the second round. A few people that won first-round matches aren't going to be there anymore, but if you look at the card online, it's looking like a pretty good show. You know, we got Katarina Lee back, who some of you may know as Winter or Katie Lee Burchill. She's going by a real name, Katarina, now. And she's actually one of our commentators at PWS now, and she's kind of like a female William Regal.
Wow. So Missy Sampson, she's still
much
in,
more
right?
attractive, though.
Well, Missy Sampson's still in the tournament, correct?
Yes.
And Sienna Duvall, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes. The people that dropped out are Christina Von Erie and someone else dropped off. It was Christina Von Erie and
Brittany Savage. So okay. Those two won't be there, but it's going to be a pretty loaded card, and it's a great women's show, man. We got rave reviews from the last one. If anyone wants to, you know, check it out for yourself, there's preview videos for the DVD up on YouTube. Blow's looking pretty cool, man. And see, what I like about Blow is there's not many. It's been tried before, but it's never been followed through, where a company has the company and then the women's company, but they work together. Like, think about Dragon Gate and Evolve, how they work together as they're two companies, but they're one company.
Yeah, right.
The Blow Championship is just the PWS Women's Championship. Pat and Eric just feel that there is a market for women's wrestling, and they can run a women's show with no men's matches. So that's pretty much what Blow is. But once there's a Blow champion, you know, who knows, maybe they'll be defending it twice a weekend. Maybe they'll defend it on Blow, and then they'll defend it the next night on PWS. I mean, they really are tied into each other. Blow is just the branch to get all the women out there. So I think it's cool that they're doing that, man, because not a lot of people give all right, think of most indies. If they bring in a woman, they'll have, like, one women's match.
Yeah.
Where we're giving you a whole tournament with 16 of the top indie workers in, I mean, we're talking about how having people like Nia Yim, I mean, the world.
Yeah. She's in Japan right now.
Which is exactly why she can't be there on Thursday. But Mia Yim versus Christina Von Erie was a pretty badass main event for the first Blow show, I'll tell you that.
Definitely, definitely. Now, do you have anything else on your burner? Not that I think whatever you're doing Friday is going to be amazing, but is there anything else coming up in your future?
Actually, here's a funny tidbit. My girlfriend's work is going to make it onto WWE TV before I do.
Oh, okay.
Girlfriend, Dean knows this, for those of you who don't. My girlfriend is a very, very talented airbrush artist. She airbrushed my ring gear. If you guys want to, you know, see what her work looks like, go to my Facebook page. All my ring gear is done by her. You know, airbrushing's, a lot of people like the airbrush look, like Rob Van Dam, Ryback.
Yeah.
Well, Ryback's best friend is my trainer, Pat Buck. And Ryback is sick of his airbrush artist. So Pat sent Ryback pictures of me and my gear, and he loved it. So now my girlfriend's doing Ryback's gear from here on forward.
Nice.
Wow.
There's a step.
So
Yeah. So it's kind of weird. I've been sitting here texting with Ryback for 2 days trying to figure out what his singlet's going to look like. That's another thing I didn't think I'd ever be doing.
So how you doing? I'm doing okay.
Good. Good gracious.
It's not even me, man. It's not me. It's the environment I'm in. Like I hope no one at home is sitting there thinking, like, oh, this guy, he thinks he's all. I don't fucking think I'm anything. I think I'm me. That's about it. It's all the environment I'm in. I mean, PWS and this school, it makes these kind of things available to you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Wow. So where can people follow you, Craven?
Well, if you want to go on Facebook, you know, just go the easy route, type in Craven Varro in the search. I'll come right up. I'm the only guy named Craven Varro, I think. It would be Craven, last name Varro, Craven Varro. Then for Facebook, I'm at Metal God PWS. For PWS, their Twitter is Pro Res Syndicate. Also, obviously, look them up on Facebook. Pat Buck on Twitter is Buck Never Stops, and that's pretty much where you'll get all your PWS news. And if anyone wants some front row seats to this upcoming Friday's event, I got a few left. So I actually double D. If you guys don't have plans on Friday, if you and Ryan don't have plans on Friday, I got some tickets here for you if you'd like them.
Oh my goodness. We'll talk off air, my friend.
Yes, sir.
It sounds like an amazing show, and I'm sure Ryan, a friend of the show, the best friend of the show, shall I say?
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah.
Not only
and one
that,
of my former greatest opponents on the Backyard Wrestling Syndicate.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I'm going to ask you to tell a story real quick. In a second, but what I was going to say, during our best of show, I thanked everybody, and I'm remiss that I did not thank Ryan, because he has done a lot in the past. He gets me around. He does a lot of things. I don't drive. He drives me, that sort of thing. And he felt a little slighted. And it wasn't that. It was just I was thanking everybody else, and it just slipped. So thank you, Ryan, when you hear this.
You know, before he was working, he would actually help us.
Oh, yeah. Now he's a worker.
I can't get anybody. I have to fix my red shirt.
Now, the story I wanted you to tell, because it's such a funny story, is you guys were all friends throughout high school. And
yes.
There was a fight between Donnie, another one of your friends, which is, at the time, what level was he in martial arts?
Second degree black belt.
And, oh, my God.
Now, just tell the story from there.
All right, so basically, I'm a freak with wrestling. Have had a backyard wrestling league since I was, like, 8 or 9 years old. Ryan was part of that, as well as one of my friends, Donnie. Donnie always went as the American Samurai because he became a black belt in Taekwondo when he was, like, 7 years old. He is the sickest martial artist I've ever met, and honestly, half my ring style is legit martial arts, and I have Donnie to thank for that. So one day we're just playing some soccer. I'm not a big soccer guy. Donnie loves soccer. Martial arts guys love soccer because they can kick, you know. Not really my thing. But either way, we're playing soccer. Donnie has to go to his legit soccer game. Him, Easy, Ryan somehow get into some words, and they start circling like they're going to fight. Now, remember that Donnie is trained to kick through cinder blocks and punch through stacks of wood. But those of you who don't know Ryan, he's a big guy. His head looks like a watermelon. He is a big, big guy. All right. I have never, they start to square off. Me and Donnie wrestled from like fifth grade until, you know, through high school. So Donnie tries to get him with like a double leg. Ryan's just standing there like, no, you're not going to do that. Throw some little punches. You know, Ryan's not a trained fighter. He's just a big guy. So just throw some little rabbit punches at Donnie. Donnie breaks out and just starts full off hooking Ryan in the face. Like full steam black belt hooking him in the face. Ryan eats every single one. Until Donnie gets tired and goes, fuck this, I'm going to soccer, and leaves. Like, Ryan's a really nice guy. He's kind of a teddy bear, though. Ryan's the kind of guy, you walk up to him, you take him down, you pin him, and he's like, oh, what the hell, man? He's not really going to fight back. So I was kind of scared. Two of my friends are going to fight. Like, oh, man, Donnie's going to wreck Ryan. I don't want this to happen. And Ryan just eats it, man. Like, I've never seen anyone take one. Mind you, the last time I saw Donnie punch someone, their lip split about an inch and a half, their top lip from their lip to their nose, and they had to go to the emergency room from one punch. Ryan ate, like, 10. So Ryan can take a hit, man. If there's one thing that Ryan Deasy can do, he can take a hit to the face.
Hey, you know what? Next time I have Meathead walking around us, I'm just going to have Ryan in front of me.
That's what I said after I heard this story. I'm like, thank God Ryan's always around.
Yeah, really?
I'm like, just go, Ryan. And it's funny. Ryan,
Fred, come here.
It's funny because Ryan, I guess he knows that he has this unique, like, X ability or something that he can just take a punch. And he's like, oh, don't worry, man. Nobody's ever going to get to you. And I'm like, what? And he's like, don't worry. Nobody's ever going to get to you, man. And it's like, well, now I know why.
Well, I always used to say, Dean, you know, the trouble we've gotten into in this show, I always said, you know what? I'll stand in front of you first since I'm the one that opens my mouth first. I'm going to stand between you two.
Oh, man. Hey, speaking of that, man, you know, Ryan, to his credit, as he's been training up at New Moon Rising, from what I understand.
Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't. And actually, that's what I was about to say, man. You know, I'm doing my thing in Pro Wrestling Syndicate. I was supposed to debut at Sideshow Pro last month. I ended up just sitting there watching the show with Dean because I hyperextended my elbow really bad 2 days before. I couldn't even straighten it. Sucked. Okay. But Ryan's doing his New Moon thing. You know, maybe I have to talk to the guys from New Moon and rekindle an old rivalry with Mr. Ryan Deasy.
What are you doing the 15th?
The 15th?
Yeah.
Nothing that I know of.
Well, I think you should make it to 1030 Delcy Drive.
Building 4W.
Yes, in Westville, New Jersey, that's for sure. Yeah, you never know. Just make an appearance. You never know.
Well, absolutely, man. I'll remind myself.
I will send you the link to the video of him taking his first bump in front of a crowd.
Yes, yes. Sienna Duvall was actually the one who delivered a clothesline that took down the rotund man I like to call Slim Burgundy.
And it was not a soft clothesline.
No, God, no. She was so loopy anyway from that. But anyway, Jeff, I got to move on, but this has been great. I'll be in contact with you about those front row seats, yes. And New Moon is always, I would check it out. And one last thing I wanted to bring up. There has been on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, I like to call Operation Interview Sammy. Now, I finally got a response from Sammy about a month ago. I said, hey, got a podcast. Would you like to come on? And he said, if you buy me Chipotle or Wawa, so pass on the word, I will be at Cage of Death with a hoagie for Mr. Callahan if this comes to fruition.
That's all it takes is a hoagie?
Hey, Wawa.
Hey, well, I will say that Sammy's been really, 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 really busy lately. Like, I haven't even, due to my mentor, and I haven't even seen him that much lately. I've been trying to talk to him about getting him on, and, I will help you with that as much as I can, but he's, like I said, he's my mentor. I can't even get him on the phone sometimes.
I'll buy him
Sammy. Buying him food definitely does help, man. Actually, it's funny. Last night I had to take Swan, some company bought Swan a bus ticket to go cut a promo in their studio. So I had to be at Swan and Sammy's at like 5 in the morning to bring Swan to the train station affiliate at like 6. And I walk in, and Sammy is already passed out, just face down on the floor. And mind you, I don't think, other than my car for like 5 minutes, I've never seen Sammy Callahan sleep. Dude's a machine. I've never seen him sleep. And so he's just barely dressed with this tiny blanket covering him, face down on the floor. Not even in bed. He's on the floor in the living room with this honey blanket, like, going, and I'm like, Sammy, all right? So I was like, yeah, he's tired. It's an interesting position to see Sammy Callahan in. I almost wanted to go over there and throw a stretch muffler on him and be like, I gotcha.
That could be the only time you could. You never know. Because, see, and I'll put it this way, because there are rumors swirling about his future and things of that nature. So I want to get him while he's still available, if you catch my drift.
Yeah.
So, I'll leave it at that. Craven, thank you for coming on. And, wow, we'll get you back on pretty soon.
Hey, man, well, thank you. I'll possibly see you Thursday or Friday. If not, I'll definitely see you Saturday. I should have my comp tickets, so if you and Ryan want to roll up with the old metal god, just let me know. And like I said, man, maybe I just need to roll up to New Moon Rising on the 15th and see what Mr. Slim Burgundy has to say to me.
Oh, I would love it.
We got connections, sir. We're making this happen.
I would love it.
I'd like to see the bump he takes when I hit him with a lariat.
Oh, we have heard a lot about lariats tonight. Let's tell you. So,
one of my favorite moves. If you're going to do a clothesline, just fall with it and do a lariat.
That's right. So, Craven, again, thank you so much. Wow, you're a busy guy, and I appreciate the time.
Damn, he's like...
Oh, hey, man, I appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you very much, and you guys have a great night.
You too now.
See you later.
He's moving up.
Yeah, very, very quickly, very quickly. Wow, that's... That was nice. And I love that story about Ryan, by the way.
That's a great story. And that's what I figured. Like, if anybody's gonna mess with you, just stand behind the 3-ton guy.
He's not 3 tons.
I didn't mean that insultingly. I mean, like, he's a big son of a bitch. You just stand there.
He is, and he's strong, too. He has this, I swear, he has like a...
You better watch it next time you talk back to him. He might kill you.
Well, we talked about the locker room incident that is infamous at this point in New Moon.
Very. Look at other people's faces.
It was worth it for that. You know what? Ryan and I talked about that this week, earlier this week. And he goes, was it a work or was it a shoot? He goes, all I know, I left that room with a smile on my face. Oh, I love Ryan.
What message?
Oh, yeah, Dan, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Apparently he's not dead.
Oh.
DC Drakes has not passed away. Apparently, according to his sister, who was on Facebook and friends with the Blue Meanie, Brian Heffern, he's not passed away.
Well, I take all that nice stuff I said back.
Yes, yeah, so screw that son of a bitch.
When he does die, I'll have nice words for him.
When he does die, we're going to say all that stuff again. No, apparently
he's not dead yet.
Everybody's been talking about it, and, you know, he's 55 years old, and he pretty much just said, no, it's not true.
I'm doing fine, guys, but thanks.
I'm doing fine, but I really like that you guys like me.
Oh, fuck. It's about that time.
It's about that time.
Omega's here?
All right, Omega, we are going to talk MMA now. What's the big thing happening this week? I'm so busy with this wrestling stuff, I have no idea what's going on. Get me up to speed.
Well, this week, UFC on Fox 5.
What day is that?
That is Saturday.
Son of a bitch!
Because of your wrestling thing, you're going to miss probably one of the best parts ever. Free.
Bitch.
You should DVR it.
Yeah, DVR it.
It's not quite the same.
You know what sucks, though? Because the way my work schedule is now, I have off on Saturday, so I'm going to be out probably till like 3 in the morning going, oh, my God, did you see those glass shards that were in Tremont's back, and then I'm going to come home at like 3 in the morning and watch 2 hours of UFC and then like roll into work. Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, terrible. Man, that's your biggest problem.
Terrible, terrible. Anyway, I'm sorry. So what's on the card?
Well, the headlining fight is for the lightweight championship. Benson Henderson.
Bitch!
Versus Nate Diaz.
Not Nick Diaz. Nick Diaz, really?
Ah, Nate Diaz.
Nick Diaz, the younger brother. Oh, okay. What else?
I'll come over and watch it with you.
Yeah. Well, you know, and then you have two fights that have pretty good implications for a title picture in the future. You have Shogun Hua versus Alexander Gustafsson.
Oh, come on.
And then you have Rory McDonald versus BJ Penn.
Oh, come on. Yeah. You're making this up. You're just trying to rub this in?
No, I am not making this up. And then, go ahead. Opening the card is Mike Swick versus Matt the Immortal Brown.
Mike Quick Swick against Mike Brown. Okay. Now, let's talk about that title matchup, first of all. We have Benson Henderson defending the title. He finally got past Frankie Edgar. He's moving on to Nate Diaz, one of the Diaz brothers. Fights a lot like his brother. So where do you see this one? Do you think he can get into the head of Benson Henderson? Benson Henderson is a pretty emotional fighter.
I agree. Ben has been gotten emotional before. The fight that I remember it most is probably his WEC fight versus Showtime Pettis.
Yeah.
Where we had the Pettis kick. He kind of fought Pettis' fight in that fight, and he ultimately lost for it. This is going to be an interesting fight because these are both two guys that have skills, but if they kind of – one's better than the other. I put the striking advantage to Nate Diaz because of the Diaz brothers' tendency, just the volume punch and just quick punches thrown, not a lot of power, but just continuous pummeling. Benson Henderson is going to have the advantage in the wrestling and the takedowns. I think he'll be able to get Diaz down and take him down. But from there, you got to
think. Yeah, I think Diaz really has the advantage.
Right, Nate Diaz would be a submission guy.
He's Gracie Jiu-Jitsu.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and he's going to throw them up constantly.
Where I think Nate is a little better than his brother, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think he's been shown to have a little better submissions than Nick has. Both of these guys, cardio is not going to be an issue. So the setup here is really a great fight. I don't really like the Diaz brothers, but I think Nate has a very good chance of taking this title here.
Well, let's put it this way. Nick is a natural born heel. And his brother wants to be, I think.
Yeah.
And I like Nick. I really do like his style. Like, I thought the Paul Daly fight he had in Strikeforce was one of the best fights of 2011. But getting back to your point, I'm sorry. I just wanted to get that in.
Well, yeah. I think Nate has a very, very good shot. He's a better shot than his brother of taking a UFC belt, I think, at this weight class. I don't know really how I see this fight going. I think actually it's probably going to end up being a decision if I had to guess, because Diaz doesn't have the power to put away Henderson, and Henderson is not going to be able to keep Diaz on the ground enough to pound him out. So I think we could see kind of a repeat of both the Henderson-Edgar fights, in that we get a lot of action, but not a lot of finishes. It's very close on paper, in my view. And I think, in my head, I'm leaning towards Diaz outpointing Henderson.
So you think it's going to go five rounds? You're saying no submission, no knockout. It's going to go the five brutal rounds.
Yeah, I think it's going to go five. I don't think Diaz has the finishing capability to do it. To finish him on the feet, and I don't think Diaz will be able to catch him in a submission, because I think Henderson is a well-rounded fighter enough to not get caught in one of those. So I think it's going to go to decision, but it could be a very exciting five rounds.
Oh, I definitely see shades of Dan Henderson and Shogun Hua.
Yeah.
I had to get the reference in, I'm sorry.
Yes. We have Henderson already. I'll throw Dan in. Okay.
I'll work on my WCW reference before the end.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Okay, so moving right along. Now, of course, talking about Shogun Hua, he's taking on, could you say it for me, please?
Alexander Gustafsson.
Thank you. So, yeah, it's hard for me sometimes, especially after tonight's show. So.
Sweet.
They're taking on.
We're taking it anyway.
This is pretty much. Is this light heavyweight or is this middleweight?
This is light heavyweight.
Okay, so this has title implications, really.
Yeah, conceivably, if Gustafsson wins, I think he's very close to being in line for a shot against Jones. After, of course, he fights Chael Sonnen. Which, why is Chael Sonnen fighting John Jones? I don't know, but whatever.
Because Sonnen can sell fights.
Well, yeah, and he can sell a 13-episode TV show. So that's basically what that happens. But that's neither here nor there.
Where's Dan Henderson? I don't mean to bring up Dan Henderson again. Maybe I do. But where is Dan Henderson now? Because he was, of course, number one contender. He had the fight all lined up against Jones. Where does that fight come? Or does it? Or is Henderson done?
Well, I don't know that he's done. I think it's trying to figure out where he's at after his injury that caused him to be out of the fight in the first place.
Okay.
How is he healing from that? I haven't heard anything about how he's healed from that and whether or not he's ready for another fight. But with Jones taking on Sonnen, that's not going to be till April. You got to wonder whether or not he's going to try to take another fight in the interim. He's talked about some other fights. I know I've seen him say he's, because Jones has tied up, he's talked about a few other fights. I don't know if he's actually talked about any seriously at this point.
Okay. Now, the next fight that you brought up, I already forgot.
Roy Brown versus BJ Penn.
Yes, BJ Penn, Roy Henderson. Now,
Henderson. Dean and the Hendersons.
Shut up.
You know, you got that for me, but you haven't used it once for me.
I did get it for you. For the WCW. But now...
Hey!
Roy McDonald. Now... Talk about that one. I mean, BJ Penn coming back, we thought he was retired.
Yeah, BJ Penn decided he wanted to come back for one more fight, and he picked a very, very, very good up-and-coming fighter to come back to. Rory McDonald is only like 23. He's very young, but he is very skilled. He is strong in all aspects of mixed martial arts. He's pounded guys out. He submitted them. He's 4 out of 5 for the last. He's won the last 4 of his last 5 fights. His only loss is to Carlos Condit. You're looking at a guy who will, if I'm looking at him, has a very good chance of being a UFC title holder. That being said, he's got to get past GSP. But Rory McDonald was in the conversation to fight GSP. Before the interim title fight was where Condit won his interim title. He's up and coming now. So I think, BJ coming back, he hasn't looked great in his last several fights. He's, coming off of losses. I really don't think this is a good fight for BJ Penn. This could be a Liddell-like exit for BJ Penn.
Oh... Do you really think? Do you think that could happen?
I think it could. It could happen. I really do.
It's so sad to see that happen, though. I mean, it was kind of, after a while, it became funny with Chuck Liddell in a way that he would just get knocked senseless every time he tried to get back in.
Yeah.
But
you ever see him try to talk?
Who, Chuck? I'm surprised he still has a jaw.
But I'm not sure it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be as spectacular as Chuck's knockout. I don't think it's going to get knocked out per se. I think BJ's probably tough enough. But
although,
I think,
if you're going to go out with a bang, dude.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. What could happen is he could just get tired and give up the submission to McDonald. I think that's completely possible. I mean, he hasn't. BJ hasn't won against anybody since 2010, and that was Matt Hughes at the tail end of his career. So you gotta wonder if he's still got it anymore. I mean, he's got his place. He'll be a Hall of Famer, but he won't. Why come out of retirement? I guess is my point here.
I got you. And then it's getting kicked off. Mike Brown taking on Mike Quick Swick. So. Mike Quick Swick, his last fight, I believe he won after a long hiatus.
A long hiatus, exactly.
And maybe he has some momentum coming in?
Well, they both have momentum coming in. These are guys that have been kicking around the middle of the division for a long time. Matt the Immortal Brown, he's always a guy that comes to fight. He's got a lot of skills, but he's run up against some bad losses. But that being said, he's won 4 out of his last 5. He should be in good shape. He's coming off some TKO defeat of Luis Ramos back in June. He's got some momentum. He's got 3 wins in a row. He's looking to make his name for himself. And taking on Mike Swick, these are 2 guys. Mike Swick, obviously coming off his long hiatus, did win his last fight. Does he will we see some improvement out of him? I think these are two guys on the same level that want to bang. It's going to be a very good chance. This is a very good fight to start off this card.
I tell you, all I have to say about missing this is...
Fucking bullshit!
That's all I have to say about it.
You know, it reminds me of the time that WCW had a hardcore title tournament, and they actually had the match in a junkyard for Bash the Beach 99.
Shut up!
Thank you.
Okay, then.
I just wanted to shut up.
Yes.
It's Bill Bellamy, damn it!
Remember the time that the Wolfpack went into the NWO locker room and started...
Shut up!
I'm sorry.
No, I was... That's what I was just...
Now, is there anything else going on in the world of MMA?
Yes. The big story of the last couple days has been Dominick Cruz, who is the... UFC bantamweight champion
has
not
paid
fought.
His dues.
I believe he has paid his dues.
Okay.
Yes, because he is the bantamweight champion.
Gotcha. That was. Thank you, Dee.
I tried not to laugh.
He is bantamweight.
Well, I'm funny how? And I'm funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Why
amuse
you?
I make you laugh. Yes.
Sorry. I'm losing control. Go ahead.
Control.
Dominick Cruz, bantamweight champion.
Dominick Cruz,
bantamweight champion. Go for it.
Yes. He is.
So remember the time? No, I'm kidding. Go.
Damn it, Dan! Shut up. Anyway, he's been injured since October of 2011. He's not fought. He's recently had knee surgery. He had a cadaver ACL. Transplanted into his knee.
Oh,
that
Lord.
His body is rejecting that ACL.
Oh!
So he has had to go back and get another surgery.
Dude.
He will be out for probably another year.
A year?
Strip it. Strip the title.
That's the question.
A year?
A year, yes.
Four-man tournament.
My knee is seriously twitching just hearing that story.
If that would be fine, except for the fact that we already have an interim bantamweight champion in Henan Barao.
Oh yeah.
So who decided to do the Carlos Condit route and say I'm going to wait for Cruz to get healthy. So we've had an interim champ that hasn't fought. Whether or not Dominick Cruz should be stripped, probably. You know, you can make that argument. I can completely see it. They've done that before with Frank Mir.
Yeah.
When he was stripped, this was years ago, pre the Ultimate Fighter, where he was ultimately stripped of his title after his motorcycle accident.
Mm.
And that was when Andre Arlovski was the interim champion, and he was Arlovski was eventually just became the heavyweight champion.
I call them the glory days of UFC.
Yes. So,
no, not really.
Not really. Yeah. when Arlovski and Tim Sylvia were throwing the heavyweight title back and forth, yeah, glory days.
Let's not talk about that.
Yes. Anyway, but Henan Barao is now the interim champion. The question becomes: do you make him the official champion? I don't know the answer to that. My thought is: if you got an interim champion, you expect that Cruz will be back. I think.
Yeah.
Cruz have the title. You've got an interim champ. Fine, let it go. It was just announced, just like in the last hour, that on the UFC on Fuel TV, that Henan Barao will finally defend the title versus Mike McDonald.
Oh.
In a date to be named, some event to be named. But
will there be 12 planes of glass in the cage?
I'm doubting that. I'm not sure the athletic commissions would go for that.
Damn it!
Son of a bitch! Hey, I have a serious question when you're finished, Megan.
Go ahead. Yeah. I mean that's basically it. I mean I think so. That's the big news is Dominick Cruz will be out for a year and we're gonna have finally gonna get the bantamweight title bantamweight division moving with Henan Barao defending the interim belt. So.
We do a predominantly professional wrestling podcast.
Yep.
For those who didn't notice. For those who didn't notice, shut up. Was there ever a time or ever an incident in UFC or MMA where something wasn't legit or something was fixed?
Possibly in Japan.
But UFC has always been on the level. Always.
I mean, I don't think there's anything been definitively proven. There's obviously been some questionable judging.
There's always questionable judging.
There's always questionable judging.
Let me rephrase that. Combatant-wise.
Oh, like somebody throwing a fight? Or
yeah.
You could say Brock threw his last fight, but then you could just say just as easily he had so many operations. You know, it's hard to say. Did Brock really want to go back and get a $5 million contract for doing absolutely nothing for a year from WWE?
Sure.
Exactly. So the case could be made that he, you know.
AOL Time Warner 2001 all over again.
Yeah, I mean, certainly some people have not fought up to expectations
right,
in the past. But nothing's been proven, right?
I don't believe anything's been proven. I haven't heard of any high-profile matches where that has occurred.
I'll tell you what, in the old days, and I know, and again, while we talk about it every week, I don't understand why I never did get into the UFC or MMA fighting. When you used to go to Blockbuster, hey, remember those guys? And you'd go to rent a wrestling videotape. I mean, you'd see all the UFC videotapes right next to it, and it's right up my alley. I don't know why I don't watch it.
I think you would enjoy it. I think you should give it a chance. The Fox Night of Fights should probably be a good starting point.
This Saturday?
Yeah. Yeah.
Son of a bitch!
Now, speaking of Sons of Guns, this Saturday.
Really?
This past Saturday. I was trying for a segue. It didn't go too well. Yeah, so this past Saturday, the Monster Ah 2 returned to ECWA. He was estranged.
That's your fucking segue. I'm sorry, that flipped. That's your segue, dude.
He returned he was estranged from ECWA. There were things said back and forth.
Shoot.
Whatever the case, but he's back. And he made an impact. Let me tell you, he attacked the Greek god Papadon, who seemingly did the right thing for once. And then we're going to talk about Tony Mameluke after that. But here is Atu in the dressing room, and he wasn't too nice. I am here with the monster Atu.
Shut up! Shut up! I am the Ultra Magnetic Monster, and I am back in the ECWA to do what I should have always done, and that's take control. That's own this place. I'm going to keep this short and sweet. Just like Chris Wilde. Short and sweet. That half a sissy. The people here in ECWA, they're pussycats. The people in the Blackhearts, we're Ollycats. And Ollycats never, never lose to pussycats, because you can't keep a good lamp down.
I love that. That man is my hero.
He's
he really is my hero.
He's, yes, I enjoy his work greatly.
Short and sweet, dude.
Did I mention Chris Wilde will be coming back on December 19th? Get us up to date on what's been going on.
I want to see how he feels now with the title under the belt for a couple months.
Let me just say, the match between Chris Wilde, what's forgotten in everything that happened, and basically you had Blackheart team up with Order the Black and Matt Saigon and
Atu,
who returned to create this mega faction. Now, let's just see who's in this here.
All right, go ahead.
Apollyon. Rex Lawless. Atu.
Matt Saigon.
Son Josh Daniels. Joel Black Goodhart.
And that awesome guy who creates great promos.
Breaker Morant. Are all part of this faction, and I'm probably forgetting one.
How to speak Australian. Boring.
Stop it. That's funny, but stop it. Now, so you have this mega faction that was created. Papadon came out, and he was asked by Joel Blackheart to join this faction. And he responded by attacking the four men that were in front of him at that point, which were Apollyon. So he did the right thing. Where does Anthony Chico fit in all this? Who knows?
Well, we'll have to ask him.
Yeah, we'll get him back on.
Now, Mameluke.
Mameluke came out during this whole fray, but earlier in the night, after probably one of the best matches I've seen this year on the independent circuit, bar none.
Wow.
Easily. Tony Mameluke, grudge match with the Greek god Papadon. After the match, Papadon lost. Pinned, 1-2-3. His first singles loss by pinfall in ECWA. So noteworthy just with that. But after the match, Mameluke takes off his boots, retires, leaves them in the ring, passes the torch to the Greek god Papadon. An amazing moment, and it's not a work.
It's not
he retired.
No, he was done. He's done. And one of the things that solidified it for me was on his Facebook page. He no longer is Tony Mameluke. It's his real name.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, okay, he's serious.
Yeah, yeah. And I noticed that. I said, who's this guy? Oh, it's Tony Mameluke.
He just came into the ECWA.
I wrote him a message, and I said, thank you for the few brief months that you were around in ECWA. Thanks for this being your last stop, so to say.
Oh, he was great, man.
15 years to the day that he started wrestling, he retired from this business, and he's moving on to the next chapter of his life.
Go ahead.
No, I just hope to get him back on so we can discuss some things, because... He was actually one of the best guys as far as hanging out and making sure we were all there, and you know, we had difficulty with him. So
We still have to get our dream of getting him and alone in the room with Russo.
Yeah, that would be a dream.
Just so I can see him punch the newborn born again Christian in the face.
Well, yeah, that's worth the price of admission there.
I would pay I'd buy him a cheesesteak.
Now, Omega, you said there's some... Wait, before you get there. Let me see. I believe this is breaking news or something.
Breaking news. Breaking news. Live from the Hell in a Cell Talk Radio newsroom, this is Dean Dixon. Dean?
Actually, no, it's Omega. Go
Omega,
ahead.
Omega, this is Omega.
All right, so, well, for those of the listeners who are unaware that CM Punk was injured last night at Raw.
Oh, yeah.
By going through a table. When Ryback pushed him through the table, he apparently had some kind of knee issue. He had emergency surgery on that today. And apparently because of that knee surgery, he is out of the match defending his title against Ryback at TLC. On WWE.com, they just announced that. They also announced placing that match will be a TLC match, The Shield versus Team Hell No and Ryback.
Oh, wow.
Okay, well, they made up for it.
Yeah.
But no, apparently... There was one weird stipulation about that, though. Apparently, it's a TLC match, but it can only be won by pinfall or submission.
Okay, that's odd. Well, yeah, because what would they be going for if it was TLC? So,
yeah, I don't know, I guess. But so it's pinfall or submission.
Speaking of that, at DWF, there was a TLC match where pinfalls were taking place, and there was a title hanging from the ring. I'm not sure. Nobody knows what this happened. Nobody knows what happened there. Great match, though.
How were the announcers that night?
Oh, the announcers, let me tell you.
They were spectacular. I watched.
It was an amazing event. But anyway, moving on.
I read that earlier, and when I heard emergency knee surgery, like apparently he flew right after all. He flew down to Florida with Andrews, who's worked on everybody's in wrestling's knees.
Yeah.
Or everything. He's a knee surgeon.
Yeah, he does everything. He does joints for any kind of sport you can name.
He's the guy.
Yeah.
He's seen more money in an hour than I'll ever see in my life.
Now, what's
but he's good.
What's the time frame on this as far as being out?
6 to 8 weeks.
I don't know that they've set a time frame. Have they?
Depending on how bad the knee surgery, you're looking from 2 to 4 weeks or 6 to 8 weeks, depending on how bad the injury was. If it was ACL, I lost my train of thought. If it was ACL, it's longer time. You're looking at ligaments or something. You're looking at less time. Or if you also depending on if you had arthroscopic or if you cut his knee open.
Mm.
I think he had a scope, is what I read today.
All right,
he had a scope and a small piece of cartilage removed.
Okay, well then, it's still recovery time, but it's less than he would have if he tore his ACL or something.
So what does this mean going into Royal Rumble, where he was slated to face The Rock, I would imagine?
Oh, that's not happening.
Exactly. So that kind of...
There's no way that's happening. Well, let me rephrase
like
that.
6 to 8 weeks away from that. I mean,
yeah, let me rephrase that. We're still at the beginning of December. That you might be okay for that. It depends on where that is in January. Is it towards the beginning or towards the end?
It's usually like the third weekend.
You might be okay. It all depends on physical therapy. Why do you ask? I've had surgery on both knees. For anybody going, how the hell does he know?
I knew that's why you knew. But
I knew. I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about people listening.
We do have a lot of listeners, Dan.
We do, actually.
Apparently, people like DJ Hyde.
Well, you know, he just called in.
Yes. Now, another guy that I caught up with, a man who broke my heart, Dan.
Oh, Matt.
Matt Saigon.
Oh.
I'm trying to get up here with Matt Saigon. Matt Saigon, here tonight. You turned your back. You split up Fusion DS. You broke my heart. What do you have to say for yourself?
Shh. It was quiet in here. Please shut up. A moment to myself. Goodbye.
Well, short and sweet.
I don't, how come only the bad guys get to say short and sweet? How come the bad guys don't do a big monologue? You know what? I'm going to go up to that.
Off the air, I'll talk to you.
I'm going to go up to that Atu, and I'm going to tell him that I want a longer interview next time, and there's not a damn thing he can do about it.
You know what? You know what, Dan? You're in luck, because let's just say, off the air, I'll tell you more about that. But
are we getting him on soon?
Oh, not a problem at all. I mean,
oh, please.
I could.
About Lamp.
Now, another thing that happened. You want to talk about Lamp.
Maggie, I'll tell you what that is. Off screen.
Yeah.
Now, another thing that happened at Toys for Tots, the ECWA show that happened, Damian Dragon was named the first entrant into the very prestigious Super 8 tournament. So Damian Dragon will be in the Super 8 tournament April 13th in Newark, Delaware. And I would also like to announce that our first guest of 2013 will be Damian Dragon.
Yes.
Yeah. He will come into the cell. Now, the status of Fusion DS is really up in the air.
Are we allowed to? Okay, I was going to say something but I wasn't sure.
It's up in the air.
They're booked for 2 weeks from now.
There's still contractual obligations that have to be dealt with.
But we're not talking out of turn here.
I'm just saying there's contractual obligations.
Contractual obligations that keeps them contracted together.
In some promotions and not in others. How's that?
Shoot.
So.
Oh, I'm going to get shot.
No, we're not.
Going to shoot me one day.
Who listens to overtime? Nobody. It just trails off. Really.
I like our overtime.
Who listens to overtime? Now, Dan, what happens tomorrow? You're the man who set it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very proud of this. Tomorrow night, 9:30. I mean, one of the men, in my opinion, in wrestling who does not need an introduction, but I'm going to introduce him anyway. One of the legends of wrestling, WWE Hall of Famer, Tully Blanchard, is going to give us his time, and we're going to interview him tomorrow night.
Unbelievable. I have so much I can discuss.
That is a conversation that could go on for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours.
He is probably going to be the first person that says, guys, I really have to go.
No, really, guys, I really don't want to talk to you anymore.
It's 12:30 Central Time. You've been
on the phone for 5 hours, and now you're just talking about different matches I've had every day in order.
How many times can I talk about the splinter in my eye from Magnum TA? How many times can I do that?
How many times can I say that her boobs were fantastic?
I love that interview so much.
A little cleavage action going on here.
Don't you look at it, Al. just a great interview.
And there's another guy who you just wanted to strangle him.
You either wanted to strangle him or you wanted to be him.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all I'm saying because he is one of those guys. And tomorrow, Dan, less than 24 hours from now, we will be talking with him about his...
At least to set up one interview a year.
And, boy, do you save the best for last, really.
Thank you. I'm main event type of material here.
You know, one interview...
Do not forget, we got Tully Blanchard tomorrow. Next week, we got who, Dean?
Amishir Olala, French Interruption Part 4, and Azriel.
All right. And then on Saturday, we have the New Moon Rising pre-show.
Good God. Yes, we do.
And then
the 19th.
Then a very special, Christmas story episode.
It's going to be a very breaker Christmas. Special guest with Robert Knight.
All through the house.
Adam Cole will also be here.
It's amazing.
And the reigning ECWA heavyweight champion. Heavyweight champion, Chris Wilde. We're going out with a bang.
We're going out. Is he still carrying around two belts?
No. It's a unified title.
Is it a new belt?
Not a new belt. It's still.
Oh, cheap bastards.
Dude, that costs a lot of money.
Dude.
And, well, it does, but...
I just like you going, dude.
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 Dude. So, dude. And then on the 26th, we're going to look back at the year in wrestling. That was Omega Squad's idea. I'm not sure how it's going to be. We're just going to yap. Because it's
the
day after.
Three of us, or do we want to get a special guest? Or what
I kind of want to get someone from the past. A ghost of Christmas past, if you will.
Huh.
You never know.
Oh, Jesus. does he drink heavily?
Probably on the holidays, even more than so. Yes.
Does he tweet about every drink that he takes?
it's an app. There's an app for it.
Is he completely clueless?
But we'll try to get him back. Of course, Brady tonight was a little under the weather. So
I was going to say, yeah, he canceled kind of short, you know. So hopefully, get well, Brady.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking
Once
of Brady...
Once in a while, we need you, Brady.
Promotional consideration, Dan. Usually you finish my sentence.
I didn't think you'd want me to do it!
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room on WEXP 1600 AM in Philadelphia and TheBradyHicks.com. Like what you hear? Be sure to check out all the other great content available on TheBradyHicks.com. In the Room, Between the Ropes, JV Mail, Hell in a Cell Radio, Titus Machiavelli, The Papa Don Show, What's Wrong with Wrestling, The Book Club, Saturday Night Akbaz, The Extreme Odd Couple with Steve Carino on Rob Dimension, The O Show, The Fish Tank with Bobby Fish, and Dimple Date, the dating and relationship show at TheBradyHicks.com. Great video content. This Week in Wrestling, Stepping Out with Sassy Stephanie, WSU and ECWA TV, Completely Damaged, Wrestling Reflections with Darren Corbin, and so much more. Check it out.
Are you bored? Do you need some entertainment? Well, I suggest you check out the Dream Wars Horrorcast. Isn't that right, baby?
You're going to miss a good show tonight. That's your tough luck. I thought you kids were all about team spirit.
Not only are we going to give you an entertaining show, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
I'm going to give you to the count of 10.
Shut up.
So, yes, they don't pay any of my bills. So
no, they don't. No.
But then
asked them for a new commercial that we could play, and we don't have it.
Are you bored? Do you need some entertainment?
Yes, I am.
That's one of my favorite.
Can you do me a favor? I'll send you a link to it. Can you just get the old WCW Thunder promotional consideration paid for by the following?
Yeah, if you send me a link.
I got you covered. Because it's so funny to watch a wrestling show and then to have that voice cut in before a commercial. This is serious stuff here. Buy our stuff.
Dan, so this night, you know, just trying to wrap things up here because we got stuff to do tomorrow too.
I'm off. I got nothing to do. I'm gonna watch the Four Horsemen DVD for research just to get a fresh mind.
Same here. I'm off as well.
Do you wanna get together?
How the hell are we gonna do that?
We're together now.
Oh, if you want to. Whatever. I wasn't thinking. Now, some websites to check out. NMRWrestling.com, ECWAProWrestling.com, and CZW. Actually, it's CZWrestling.com.
CZWrestling.com, yeah.
And tomorrow night.
Yeah, watch that, folks, after you listen to our interview.
Yes, definitely. Definitely after Tully Blanchard, Hall of Famer.
That means it'll be over, but Tully Blanchard, much more interesting.
Yeah. But it's on Hybrant ENT. You can find it there. That's going to be an eye for an eye. And, of course, that was at Tremont CZW, if you want to follow him on Twitter. Matt Tremont taking on at DJ Hyde _1.
I mean, that got very contentious, and I'm not sure why. I'm very surprised.
I tell you, a lot of times guys that have a beef will call in and talk. We had it happen with Ooh La La and Tartaglia. We had it happen with Keikoa and Papadon. We had it happen with Cole and Papadon, Adam Cole and Papadon. But DJ, I
mostly with Papadon.
Yeah. I don't know. That was just out of this world. We also had Middle God PWS on the Twitter, at Middle God PWS. And, of course, at Robert Knight _. That was Robert Knight, and he'll be back next week.
Who are you killing over there?
Oh, that's that darn cat.
Get your hands off its neck.
I'll tell you. Never mind. I'm not going into that story right now. But
get your hands off that cat.
I'll tell you, Dan. Tonight started out with a bang, with Tremont. DJ Hyde called in. Robert
Knight. Hell of an intro by our fantastic producer, Dean Dixon.
Yes. The intros, tomorrow night's just going to be the regular old intro.
We just open with the Horseman stuff.
I could.
Let's talk off air. That's better than off. We should plan this stuff off air, Dean. You can follow me at DanLaw83 on Twitter.
Follow Omega Squad. Where is it, Omega Squad?
It is at Omega Squad on Twitter.
Amazing. And you can follow
Dean in Folsom County.
Yes, at Folsom County. And follow the Twitter at HIAC Talk Radio. And, of course, go ahead and subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a review. It'd be nice.
Tell us what's good. Tell us what sucks. Unless it's me, don't bother.
Exactly. That's how I feel, too.
Because we know.
You cretins out there.
Hey, don't make fun of the people. They keep us in business.
Okay. I'll let it go at that.
Actually, you know what? Yeah, good point. I'll eat that one.
But we'll talk to you tomorrow at 9:30 with Hall of Famer, WWE and NWA Hall of Famer, Tully Blanchard.
When you come out to the ring, I hear a lot of people, that chant, Breaker,
moron. Is that something that does that fire you up, or does that take you off the game a little bit, or is that what you're looking for?
That don't take me off my game. I've been hearing that for years. I've been hearing Breaker outhouse. I've heard it all. No, that don't take me off my game. Not at all. Fire me up? Yeah, I agree.
Cool.
Shut up.